The Corian Football Club podcast is kindly sponsored by the Lodge Hotel, famous for food, functions, and fantastic value.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's the Corian FC podcast, as ever, with your host, Damian Mullen, and your co-host, Jonathan McNabb. First of all, before we start, we have to do our regular little sponsor thank you and to the Lodge Hotel Corian. And this week, just thinking, if anybody hasn't got an idea for New Year's Eve, then check out the Lodge Hotel's New Year's Eve ball for the biggest night of the year. If you don't fancy having anybody at home or hosting at home, you get to try out the Lodge Hotel, a drinks reception on arrival, a sumptuous five-course carvery meal, and after dinner, they'll be showing you what a good old knees-up is as we bring in 2024. So, tickets are currently on sale, £49 per person, can be purchased from hotel reception, but early booking is recommended as they're going very quickly. So, without further ado, Johnny, just on that, I'm just thinking, New Year's Eve, this would be probably the first time in a long time that we'll not actually be working on New Year's Day, covering a match.
Yeah, obviously the game's been brought forward. All the games have been brought forward, so work all semi somewhere else. So, yeah, I think obviously the games, probably players and officials and everybody else, so probably be a bit more time over the holidays. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It's not as if there'll be no other football on, if you know what I mean. Mm. Yeah, it'd be weird. It'd be weird not opening up the new year, obviously 2024 for football match, but the busy schedule anyway, and I think the weekend after that's the first round or well, the fifth round of the Irish Cup. So, and then obviously the January window's open and stuff. So things will always be busy. The Premier League on, there's probably darts on. There's I think the new year just opens up with a lot.
I mean, it's as I say, the first time in a long time. You know, traditionally it's been Boxing Day game, New Year's Day game, and you're always working. And actually, I'm looking forward to it this year, the fact that the match will be on the Saturday and then New Year's Day. As you said, there'll be other sport on and it'll be a day where you can maybe just sit and relax at home maybe and watch a few games on the TV and finish off all the chocolates and whatever else is lying
about. I'm usually still lying on the sofa, comatose from turkey and ham sandwiches that's left over. So, yeah, it'll be different. But I suppose it gives people a chance to maybe have a New Year's Eve party and you know, and take in the new year with the loved ones and stuff like that. So, no, yeah, look, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be weird too, but it's not as if there's going to be nothing else happening in the world. You know, I'm sure people will be dying to spend their vouchers and maybe having a party and going and chilling out and watching the Premier League, as you say, or Scottish League, or whatever.
That's pretty good work.
Yeah, so, yeah, there'll be plenty of other things to do.
Well, I tell you what, the bottom line is, I'm sure the players are more than happy about it as well, because really and truly, they're the ones that benefit most from it, because they don't have to look after themselves on New Year's Eve like other years. So that's a good decision by Niffle, I think, in that respect. Listen, busy week as ever in the footballing front, and wee bit of breaking news today, as we said about recording this, Johnny. Corian Football Club mentioned in the House of Lords, a question tabled in the House of Lords today, which is what, Thursday, and that follows up a debate in the House of Commons on Wednesday, in which Corian FC were mentioned as well. I see that your paper, the newsletter, had a story online about it last night, Johnny. I mean, for those maybe are not aware of what's happened, maybe you could just fill us in a little bit on developments over in the Parliament over the last couple of days.
Yeah, well, obviously, on Monday, Rishi Sunak and Michael Gove announced that £1 billion had been awarded to 55 community projects across Great Britain, but unfortunately, the third running said that Northern Ireland received no funding, obviously due to no executive. So obviously that'd be a bit of a blow if that was to happen. And I know a couple of MPs and the Secretary of State and Lord Rogan as well have all been very complimentary about their time at Corian in terms of their plans for the leveling up fund. So I think they have three big people they got there complimenting the hard work that's been done. Obviously, I know the plans won an award there at the Causeway Chamber Awards as well. I know Laura and I know Laura and his name's escaped me. So I'm going to, and Bobby. How are you going to forget Bobby? I know Laura and Bobby were there on behalf of the club. So it just shows that they're not going away, and they know how vital that this funding would be, not only just for Corian Football Club, but for the wider area. And yeah, look, we spoke about it plenty of time. It would just be fantastic for the club, for the area, for boys and girls of all ages, and for the whole community as well. They don't have to just go to the showgrounds. They watch a football match. I'm sure there'll be maybe like a cafe and a bar there and other things, and just a whole community hub. So yeah, yeah, that support just shows you, like, they don't have to do it, but it just shows you how much they thought of Corian and how well their time was spent there and the details of the plans.
Yeah, it was noticeable that the Northern Ireland Secretary of State, you know, Chris Heaton-Harris, spoke very favourably. He has visited the showgrounds this year. The MP obviously visited here as well. Both spoke very, very well about their time here, how warmly they were received. Also, how impressed they were with sort of, I suppose, the club's ambition of developing the showgrounds into like a Northwest regional stadium. And for like an Irish league club to get a couple of mentions in the House of Commons, and then also to have a question tabled in the House of Lords mentioning the club as well. And I mean, that just shows you, I think you did mention it there, and it's testament to the work that continues to go on behind the scenes by people like Bobby Farn, Lord Rogan, Barry White in England, various other people working away behind the scenes along with the board of directors at Corian as well. And there's like a lot of football clubs, sports clubs would give anything to have mentions in the House of Commons and the House of Lords 2 days in the trot, Johnny. And it is testament to the work that's going on, and it has to give those that are behind the plans, it has to give them some optimism in the future that if there is levelling up funding becomes available for Northern Ireland, that again, Corian should be prominent in the queue that is getting the money.
100%, and it does no harm by being mentioned in the House of Lords and the House of Commons, you know, by a Lord Peer, and then obviously an MP as well, and the Secretary of State of Northern Ireland. So you probably can get three sort of key figures to sort of compliment you. And yeah, look, I know on the Monday night, I think it was, before the Glentoran game as well, Bobby Farn spoke to members of the Causeway Coast and Glens Leisure and Development Committee as well about the plans and the updates and the developments as well. So yeah, it keeps the momentum ticking along. I wouldn't say slowly, but it just keeps the momentum going in the background. And it just shows that the Corian aren't going away. And it'd be very, very easy, you know, because they didn't get any levelling up funding the last time. They sort of give up and think, ah, they were never going to get it. And then obviously the news coming out that there's no funding for Northern Ireland as well, and everyone else, and the price of everyone's going up. But it just shows the determination of everyone behind the scenes at Corian. They finally see their plans come to fruition. So yeah, fingers crossed, you know, that obviously that the funding comes to Northern Ireland, and how great would it be if Corian would be the lucky recipients of that.
I know this is a football podcast, and they always say politics, sport and politics should never mix. But I think on this occasion, you know, when you hear Chris Heaton-Harris talking and Steve Becker and no money coming here because there's not an executive in place, and then you see some of the developments this week in terms of Peter Robinson, his comments about the situation in Northern Ireland, and you can almost see there's a, you know, other people have mentioned, not me, like a choreography starting to work, and there is increasing speculation that there may be an executive in place, perhaps maybe by Christmas, or if not, maybe at the start of next year, all dependent obviously on an election being called as well by Parliament. But there does seem to be some degree of movement in terms of restoring an executive. And again, if that does happen, you know, without being too cynical, you could see money being released if and when an executive is set up again, Johnny, almost like an incentive or an enticement to the politicians here just to try and get their act together. And if they do so, then you could see some money becoming available, couldn't you?
You could, but Northern Ireland and politics. This podcast will be an argument. We don't have a day or a week.
I
think regardless of whether the executive is formed tomorrow, next week, or next year, as long as Corian get the money, I don't really sort of think people would overly sort of, if you take your Corian hat off, I don't think,
yes.
You know, I don't think, it would just be great if Corian got the money. And obviously, look, the politicians, it's up to them, it's up to the DUP if you want to go back in and for devolved government and everyone else. So, I think just for Corian, just the benefits just for the local area. I think that when it comes to that, yes, obviously, Corian Football Club is the forefront of our thoughts, but I think just for the local clubs and children and women.
Yeah.
And,
well, I think just even just generally for the area. I mean,
yeah, just like, a big
and even, I'm also just thinking, like, obviously, in terms of just for people, it would just be an enormous boost, the feel good factor. But also, I'm just thinking as well, even in terms of like job creation, because if there was work ongoing at the showgrounds, that provides work, for contractors.
The economy boosts.
Yeah.
Then not only that, if you have a bigger stadium and all seater, you know, Super Cup could maybe make a return. You know, you could have Northern Ireland Under 21 Internationals instead of always being played at Moorview Park or Inver, they could be played at the showgrounds, which brings more people out as well. You could, you know, you can maybe have concerts there as well. So, because I know Cliff or Crusaders hold the Shore Fest, I think, as well, nearly.
Okay.
So yeah, look, the list is endless. But yeah, I'm just really glad for people like Bobby, you know, that the momentum is still going. I know he's worked his bollocks off. I think I'm allowed to say that. So, but so have all the board, to be fair on this. So it would just be great with all their hard work and then everyone else could be rewarded.
Yeah, and if it all happens, you know, obviously there's a long, long, long way to go. But I'm just thinking as well, you know, if it was successful, then it might tie in quite well with the proposed takeover of the club as well. I know, similarly, there's probably a lot of work going on behind the scenes. I know, and you probably know, like, supporters probably ask you at various times, you know, what's going on. And to be honest, I don't know because I'm not privy or I'm not in the know, as it were. But I think, am I right in thinking, maybe, Johnny, that some of the representatives of the owners were actually at the Larn game last Friday night? So from what I'm led to believe, they were over and that work is continuing positively in regards to the takeover.
Yeah, it's weird because everybody thinks I know as well. And I probably, I'm genuinely...
Bonnie, what do you know?
I'm genuinely the last they know. And I mean that. So, but yes, I think one of the interesting parties or consortium or
whatever
you want to call them, partners, I don't really know the term for it, was over at Inver Park on Friday. And I suppose it's a very fitting match, I think, to go to because you can see where Larn have came from to where they are now. And with investment and if you do it right, the fairly Larn, they have done it right. You look at the match day, you look at the build up, you look at the players coming out and, you know, the nice smoke and everything, and it just builds the atmosphere. The music's always good, the pitch is in good nick, obviously, with the 3G and the three stands, you know, really, really good a good condition as well. So, and then I actually went out for a half time. I went to the toilet and they have a bar, obviously, and they've two wee bars, you know. And both of them were rammed, and I mean rammed. You couldn't have moved in it. And I've seen as well, they've like coffee machines and stuff in the middle of the stands and stuff. Like, it was just so, they just done everything right, in my opinion. And yes, a lot's made about Friday night and the advantages of that. And I do think there's an advantage of obviously guys, you know, working in the office all day. But I think they've marketed it right as well, where their supporters are sitting in an office all day and they probably can't wait to go out for a pint with their mates, so why not just go to a match on a Friday night? So I get it both ways. I get it for the sporting advantage and obviously the financial advantage. So So yeah, look, I think it's a fitting game to go to because obviously we've seen what investment has done for Larne in terms of winning the league, and they've done well in Europe. I think it was a couple of years ago as well. So yeah, so I think that was sort of the, not the ambition, I suppose, so to speak, but so there's probably the framework
they're like a template, I think that, you know, for others maybe to follow, because yes, Linfield, Glentoran are also, I suppose, that full time model, professional model, but they're slightly different insofar as Linfield are obviously self proclaimed biggest club in Ireland, and they are probably up there. Glentoran, self-styled one of the big two in Belfast, proud history, but they're both Belfast clubs. And I suppose for a club like Corain, if there's a template to follow, it's probably like a provincial club like Larne as well. Yeah. You know, there's no point in us trying to ape a Linfield, for example, because, you know, they have a good relationship with the IFA in respect of the ground and stuff. So it's not comparable, if you know what I mean, whereas a Larne, I guess, is because provincial town and the way that they've done it and stimulating the local community is something that Corain probably would try to ape, if you like.
Damon, you hit the nail on the head, and you go into the Larne's ground straight away, and there's a coffee hut, and there's so many burger vans, and they just, on the outside bars, they just, and I'm not saying, like, obviously Corain do that with a social club and now and stuff, but they just seem to do, everyone seems to flow seamlessly, and it just, yeah, it just looks right, I suppose, as well. And yes, that's obviously came with investment, and neither of us have been lucky enough probably under the training ground up at the cliff. But I remember chatting to Trevor McEndrew, he was up there one day, and he says, "Oh, sorry, that's worded for an Irish league setup." So if that's what Inver Park's like, I wonder, you know, what the training ground's like, and everyone else with a canteen and everyone else. So no, yeah, I think, yes, obviously it's a template. They are the template, to be fair. But, and I said this now, I think the last couple of podcasts that we spoke about this, but Garth Clements, and I've said this about 1,000 times, obviously last time he was at Showground, said that Corey and now were in a far better position in terms of taking investment than what Larne were, because the crowd's there, Bourne's there, the pitch is there, the infrastructure is basically there, I suppose. But it's just obviously dotting the I's and getting them all together and formalising a plan. They sort of kick into full-time football, obviously, if the investment happens.
Yeah, as for the match itself, Larne scored early in the game and then made it 2-0 at the very end of the game, 89th minute, I think it was Leroy Miller's header. Like, we were both sitting there, was it 1-0 for most of the game? There wasn't a big lot in it. I suppose when you look at it, 1-0 up until the 89th minute, you could argue that Corain were in the game right up until the end. But I think maybe I'd sort of come away and maybe I put it in my report at somewhere, some point or something. But while Corain were always sort of in the game as well, just seemed to be a little bit of a lack of a quality or a difference in quality if the two teams. Would that be fair, or is that unfair, do you think?
Probably fair. I think there wasn't much in the game, as you said.
No.
But I don't think we ever looked like threatening Larne. You know, Larne probably didn't. Larne done enough to contain Corey and get the goals and walk out with the 3 points. I don't think. I wasn't overly impressed with Larne going forward, I suppose, but at the end of the day, they never really looked like conceding either and scored 2 goals and won 3-0. So they'll not be too bothered about that. Yeah, obviously, I think if you lose Andy Scott and Matthew Stevens and say 20 minutes, you're a hating day nothing as well. And those two have been such key players for us, especially Matthew. And obviously, with him going off and then everyone else, and obviously just come back from a 3-match ban, it's just sort of add an insult to the injury, I suppose, as well. And the injury, and like, Owen never makes any excuses for injuries because he has a squad. But I think if you're going to Inver Park without Landon Keane and Chevy being injured, Stevie O'Donnell, Lee Lynch, guys like that, it makes your task even more difficult. And so, yeah, we're definitely due a wee bit more luck. But every team goes through injuries, I suppose, but
yeah,
we're definitely due a wee bit probably more luck on that side of things.
The Shevlin one is particularly relevant, I think, because to start off, he's having a horrible season. He injured himself in the opening day against Ballymena, missed a couple of games with an ankle injury, came back, got sent off against Ballymena, missed 3 games. He's not long back. he's facing now a period on the sidelines. I don't know for sure how long he's going to be out. I think he was getting results off a scan at some point this week. But looking at the tackle and the fact that I think he left maybe on crutches from the ground, that's not a good sign. He's such a miss for Corian. Going ahead, looking ahead, Johnny, he's just such a big player to be missing.
Yeah, he's a goal threat, and he's our main man for 4 goals, obviously, alongside Connor. And his hold up play, and obviously we had Marty on last week, and he said it as well, his all round game's really improved too, and it's just been a totally stop start season for him. I'm sure there's nobody probably more frustrated than Matthew, especially with the amount of goals he scored last year. They have kicked on really this time round, and football's got a way of just biting you in the bum, so to speak. So, it's disappointing. It's disappointing for Matthew and everybody else. And it's really now up to David, Andy, Lee, Michael. These are tasks they play up front. They really kick on and shine. But it is up to them. And they're going to be given their opportunity to do that. So, yeah, whilst one person's misfortune is another person's gain, so to speak. But yes, it's a big loss. And just on that, it's the most clearest red card I've ever seen. Obviously, look, I've seen video footage of it. I never put it in online. I'm friendly enough with a few referees or out and officials, and I don't really want to sort of go down that route. But it's just blatant. And he's looking straight at it as well. And that's the most frustrating thing as well. But look, I can't change it. Maybe because it was only a minute into the game, but still, legs panned it. Like, I'm not saying Bolger. Well, and Oren said it too. Bolger's not a malicious player, but he's very lucky he didn't break Chevy's leg. When you see it, Chevy's leg is literally planted, and he's just came in right through the knee.
Not a good look. It wasn't a good looking challenge when it happened, and then when you see the video or the slow mo of it, it's not a nice challenge at all. Like.
And so, but look, everyone makes mistakes. We make mistakes. Players make mistakes. Referees miss things. So, but it's just one of it's just the double whammy, as Orange said, with Chevy being out, and yet we had to make 2 substitutions in the first 20 minutes. Yet Lauren probably should have been down to 10 men. So that's the fine lines of football, obviously. But it would be interesting to see if, say, that had been Kieran Farn make that tackle after playing Paul O'Neill. What happens? But listen, that's football. And these things happen, and everyone sort of misses things or doesn't see things.
It does. It's just not good timing, because coming into a busy period of the season, December, January, traditionally busy. I was looking, funny, before I came on, and I thought we would be talking about Matthew Shevlin and his expected absence over the coming couple of weeks. And I had a quick look at the table and looked at the goals for. And Corian, 22 goals for this season, and that's by far the lowest in the top 6. And I think there's only maybe 3 teams worse goals for and in the league, and that includes the bottom 2. So not pointing fingers or anything, but there does seem to be a bit of a problem there in terms of scoring goals. And it has been noticeable this year. And when you look at it, and 22 is by far the lowest in that top 6, and you can see there's a bit of a problem there. The fact that Chevy's now going to be missing, as you said, I guess it's time for other people now to stake a claim and to step up and take on some of that responsibility, Johnny.
Yeah, and scoring goals seems is the hardest thing they always do. So, like Chevy's probably going to be out for 4 or 5 weeks, given by what Orange said after Friday night. So, realistically, you're probably not going to see Matthew until the new year, if we're being totally honest. So, we've a lot of big games coming up. I'm just looking here. We've got Carrick, Loughgall. We have a League Cup game. Loughgall twice, sorry. There's Linfield as well, and I think there's somebody else in that as well. So,
And then the Boxing Day game, obviously, as well.
Yeah, that's the one that I've missed. How'd you miss that one? So it's down to, it just has to be up to somebody. It's just going to have to take the mantle. And just, well, that's providing a lot of assists for others or scoring goals. Because if they don't, Matthew's going to go straight back and start. It's a simple, and that's as simple as that. So, but I suppose as well as that, scoring goals just can't come down to strikers.
No.
Everybody else has to chip in, and Connor's done that really, really well. But it's down to others to chip in, midfielders, defenders. It's You know, all of them can score goals, so it shouldn't just be down to say every leading the line. It has to be a collective effort, and collectively we just haven't scored enough. And that's, you know, I think Loch Golf scored more as well, probably Glenavon too. So yes, it's just down to us to try and use scoring goals across the team.
Bit worrying, isn't it? Just, you know, where the goals are going to come from, obviously. But listen, there's maybe somebody that'll step up, as we say. You know, there's players there that maybe have been looking for their chance, and certainly they're going to get it in the absence of Shevlin over the next period of time. You mentioned busy period of games coming up, and the first one that you mentioned was Carrick. And they obviously are the visitors to the showgrounds on Saturday. And they'll come, they obviously get a bit of a duffing by Cliftonville at home a week ago, 3-0, I think they lost. And knowing Stuart King as we do, I'm sure he's had a right pop at his players after the game, and he'll be re-emphasising that in training this week. And Carrick Rangers will come to the showgrounds on Saturday, and they will really put it up to Corian, I suspect, Johnny.
Well, of course they will. And I think I've said this before, I hate playing teams the next game who have just been beaten quite heavily or beat, you know, comprehensively. I think as well they missed a few chances in that 3-0, so I think 3-0 probably flattered Cliftonville by all accounts. And yeah, and you're talking about goals, and you look at the goal threat, obviously, that Carrick have with Cushley and Curtis and Nettis and Big Emmett and Danny Purvis and guys like that. So, yeah, and obviously had a good win against us in August time near the start of the season. So, yeah, they'll come here, and I hate playing against them. And the amount of times I think we've beaten by a single goal at Showgrounds in the last 4 or 5 years is probably frightening. So, again, I don't think there'll be many goals in this game on Saturday too. I can see it being maybe a 1-0 or, you know, a 2-1 or something. I don't envisage many goals on it. I just dislike playing teams who've just been beaten quite heavily because they're always up for it. And, well, they'd be up for it anyway. At the same time, too, look, Corian haven't scored in the last two games, and they'll obviously want to put that right too. And so, there's arguments probably for both sets of teams.
Yeah, you mentioned the first meeting of the two teams back. I was back in August, I think, first or second week of the season. And Corian had started well, but that game up at Carrick that evening, for anybody that was unfortunate enough to be there, was a worst game of football I think I've ever seen.
we were bullied, and that's the simple of that. Carrick bullied us, got the two goals in the first half, and if Corian were still playing now, they wouldn't have scored against Carrick that night. So they were well worthy of the win. Corian weren't great, and that's been probably nice to them. But yeah, maybe there's a wee bit of revenge in there for Ornan and the players as well as that. And here at the league table, like Glenavon are now only 5 points behind us. You know, when you think of the mad start they had. So, whereas, you know, I think there is 4 points behind the Glen. So they just need to look up, try and reel in the next team and see where it takes you. So, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, excuse me, Glenavon, you mentioned that they've been on a great run. I think they've won their last four games or something, haven't they?
Yeah, they've won their last four. And I've seen them against Ballymena a couple of weeks ago. A thick fog, and they were really, really good that day as well. Actually, they should have won 4-5-0. And then obviously we played them back a couple of months ago, and they actually took the lead. They should have scored maybe 3 or 4 times in the first half, and we got it at 1-1 and then blew them apart in the second half. So yeah, we could play them in the League Cup as well. So we could play them on the Saturday away in the league, and then be at home to them on the Tuesday night in the League Cup. So it's just weird how football works out, but I'm sure Lima Valley will have different things to say on Tuesday night. So I might try and go over to that one.
When is that game? That's next Tuesday, then Lima Valley, Glenavon.
28th, so I might try and head over if I'm not working.
And then Corianer, Glenavon next Saturday. And then the following Tuesday, they're in the League Cup against the winners of Lima Valley, Glenavon.
Yeah, so you could have Glenavon twice in 4 days. Thankfully, one of them's at home. or you could be away to Glenavon at home to Lima Valley. Who knows? I think that game will be a tight game, actually. I know Glenavon are in good form. Sort of a valley, I suppose, too. I think it'll be on a tight pitch down there. I think it'll be a close one.
I think maybe if I'm right in thinking Lima Valley, maybe we've only lost one game.
Yeah, I think Warren Point beat them late on a couple of months ago, and it was late on. It was 3-2 maybe last month. No, listen. Yeah, it's a busy schedule, obviously, and we've locked all twice this or in December, and you've Liverpool, and you've Ballina, and I think you've Dungannon as well in there, and then you've Christmas and everything else. So, no, it's going to be a busy end of the year.
Plenty of miles under the belt. Just when we're on, we're talking all things football. We mentioned just the Josh Carson as well. For anybody who didn't see during recent weeks there, 250th appearance for the club. I think that deserves a bit of a mention as well, because I mean Josh he's been a loyal servant for Corian, and he's been a great signing, hasn't he?
Yeah, whenever I started probably doing a lot of the media stuff with Corian, that was probably one of the first signings I remember going down and doing everything with and doing an interview with him and stuff like that. And yeah, he's still there, God love him. So, 250 games. What a servant he's been to Corian. And, you know, I was actually thinking about this the other day, weirdly enough. And I think he'll probably go down as probably Orange's best ever signing. And I do mean that. I always thought Chris Johns maybe, but obviously Chris left. But I think Josh may go down as probably Orange, because just because of his versatility. And you really do miss him when he doesn't play. But I've noticed that, especially in the centre of the park, whenever he was out there for a while, you really, really do miss him, and he gives you everything that he has. And look, if Stevie O'Donnell wasn't the club captain and Lyndon wasn't there, Josh would probably be my skipper, to be honest. He's probably the third captain, so to speak. I know he captained on Friday night. But yeah, what a player, what an engine he has in him too. And signed as a winger, sort of, and now he's played left back, right back. I think he's played everywhere, so Barnett. So, yeah, he's just his versatility. But not only that, he's quality in every position. It's not as if you're putting him in the left back and he'll do a job. He does a quality job at left back or wherever it is. So, I think he'll definitely go down as one of the Orange's best ever signs.
That's a good one. You'll have to stick at it in social media, you know, just is Josh Carson Orange's best ever signing, and get people's.
If you look at the monetary value, like people would say maybe David McDear because he sold him so quickly for a load of money, and the same with Rory Hargan. And then obviously, you know, you've Stevie O'Donnell and Garth McConaghy, the absolute backbone of them, probably the year we were going to win the league, and you've Skinner too, I suppose. It's all up for interpretation and debate. Mm. You know, and all them, you could have credible, you've arguments for every single one of them guys, especially Skinner. We had him on a few weeks ago when he came in, and we went on that big run, got the Irish Cup final, qualified for Europe, and then the next year we won there, you know. So he just, and then he was very, very good the first spell too. So yeah, there's arguments for, you know, you could argue that you could do your 10 podcasts on that alone. So
you could,
that's just, it's all up for debate. And,
well, do you know, like, I probably wouldn't really disagree with that, because, you know, for pure longevity and just stickability and just everything, and when Josh rarely has a bad game, and even if he has a bad game, even the effort he puts in can compensate for having a bad, do you know what I mean? He just epitomizes everything that you want.
Oh yeah,
in your team,
he gives you everything else.
Oh, listen, if you had 11 players like that, just you wouldn't go far away. Wouldn't go far wrong. Like,
yeah, he gives you everything he has, and I know he was playing through the pain bar towards the end of last season. Obviously, had the operation, probably late May, and didn't play too much of pre-season. And obviously, came back, probably September, October time, and yeah, it's just great having him back. And I think it's a good foil for Lyndon in there, them two sort of breaking things up and letting Glax or whoever it is in front of them probably be a wee bit more creative. And Josh, he's been a really good goal threat with free kicks as well. He's scored a few and he's hit the cross.
maybe stick him up front this weekend.
He's definitely a class act. I honestly do think he could be, or could some. Argued is probably Warren's best.
Yeah.
You know, all for debate.
That's a good one to have on a pub some night, have an argument, a debate as to who's the Warren's best.
I'm expecting a message from somebody, and if this is out tomorrow, I'm like, how did you forget about this person? I'm like,
oh, you will. I'll have a face palm,
but I think Josh should definitely be probably top three, top five anyway. So.
We should do that sometime. We'll have a podcast on the Warren's best ever signings.
Yeah, you go through the Garth McConnell, Steve O'Donnell, trainer. You know, that team that won the Irish Cup, you have arguments for all of them, I suppose. And so
we won't go the other side of it. The worst ever. We'll not do that.
No, we're too nice for that.
Do that to anybody. So, well done to Josh. 250 on under his belt, and hopefully plenty more to come as well. Anyone else catch your eye this week? Johnny,
By the time that this podcast will be announcing that the football club are looking for our first team women's manager. I think Alison Nicol has left the role. I haven't had that fully clarified. So, well, obviously she must have. So I know there's expression of interest. I think it's the 1st of December. Applicants or whatever it is have their interest in by as well. So, and then the club shop hours for Christmas will be released next week as well. And then there's a Black Friday sale in the club shop on this Friday. So tomorrow when the podcast is out on Saturday, and I think there's 10% off everything, and apart from non-sale items as well. So no, things are definitely busy. And then there's the corporate lunch. I think it's the 9th, and then they're doing a senior citizens lunch as well some Sunday in December as well. All that information is on the website. So, it's going to be a busy, as it always is, this time of year. It's going to be a busy. I'll just go to that, and then you know it's Christmas and everything else. So, it's definitely busy.
Busy all time. So, it all kicks off this Saturday, home to Carrick Rangers, 3 o'clock on Saturday. It's basically just get 3 points, isn't it, by hook or by crook, just to try to get a bit of momentum started again. I think that's the bottom line here.
100%. And look, don't think we played all right against the Glens, probably more the second half-ish. Orange probably just looking for a good performance as well. And I think if he offered Orange a 1-0 now and a good performance, he would take it. It's the same as winning 5-0. So
yeah,
a good bit of momentum. I think without, you know, there's no easy games in this league, but there's a favourable run, I would probably argue, coming up. Where he'll be probably, we'll probably a couple will be looking to pick up as many points as possible. Because there's a League Cup quarter final thrown in there for good measure. So it's definitely a busy time, and hopefully we have a wee bit of luck with injuries and a few guys come back. Fully fit.
And hopefully Chevy gets back sooner rather than later. Just finally, mentioned the internationals there. We had a couple of Korean connections away in international duty. I think Brad missed out in the senior squad. I think injury did for him, but I think PK, nice run out for PK for the under-21s playing England at Goodison Park. Even though they lost 3-0, still nice experience that, I would have thought.
Yeah, obviously, look, I don't think many people would have tipped Northern Ireland to beat England at that age group. 3-0 is probably no disgrace, I suppose. And you know, Harvey Elliott, he's played in the Champions League for Liverpool, scoring the 2 goals. So that's sort of the level that you're at. He's training with Mo Salah and all them boys every day. So I like to think, playing at Goodison Park and playing a big game like that will do PK no harm. And so, it's the words of the oyster for that man. And I think Brad was maybe a calf strain. I could be wrong on that. I think it's maybe something to do with his calf that rolled him out. And obviously, he'll do. Nobody more disappointed probably than Brad. He really done in the last sort of international window. So, yeah, good win for Northern Ireland as well. I think they needed something to probably cling on to more than anyone else. So, maybe, I know Mike, when they had a good win against Russia in one of the previous campaigns when things didn't go so well, and then obviously that springboarded into a good campaign the next one. So, hopefully that one against Denmark can sort of be our one against Russia.
Good win, as you say. Something to build on. And down south, Stephen Kenny, as expected, he's left his role as well. It's probably a decent job for somebody too, Johnny, isn't it? I don't know. I see Roy Keane, I got an email in from one of these betting companies today saying that there'd been a splurge of money on Roy Keane. He's now the favourite to take over. And Neil Lennon, he's obviously mentioned as well. I mean, it's a good job for somebody, isn't it?
Yeah, there'll be nobody more patriotic than Roy Keane. So I wonder what I thought about him in the change room. But yeah, I've seen his name mentioned in Lee Carsley as well, England under 21 international, so our international manager. So
yeah,
but yeah, it's we'll soon see. And international football is probably sort of a different type of management, I suppose, as well.
Mm-hmm.
And more watching games and analysing, and then obviously you have your breaks with the players. So, yeah, I think both countries, North and South, will be glad that the qualification's over. Let's be perfectly honest. We both had an abysmal campaign. I think the only teams they beat were Gibraltar or San Marino of Denmark. So, I think they'll be reset them.
The only thing I would say, yes, that, you know, it's on paper that does not look good at all, beating those two. But I think when you look at the two squads, they're both full of young players. There is a bit of potential in both, and it's very, very difficult because you need experience at the international level, obviously, players. But I think both teams, North and South, there's a lot of good potential of young players. So maybe there's bit of hope for the future, if not for the present.
Hopefully, Damien, and you know, I think like, even if you look at Northern Ireland, Isaac Price and Shea Charles, you just hope the four or five caps that they've earned already will stand them in good stead. And Shea Charles is phenomenal footballer, like, he's so good to watch. And yeah, and obviously they've had Owen Toole playing for them, and you know, and a load of other young boys, and Cal Marshall, and probably loads of players that I'm now forgetting about. So yeah, hopefully build a nucleus of squad around them, and I suppose like every other team and company, you're just looking for somebody to put the ball in the back of the net, and Ireland have that obviously with Evan Ferguson. So Northern Ireland are probably looking for their Evan Ferguson, if that makes sense.
Well, maybe Colin Marshall might be that player. Who knows? Yeah. Right, well, here, we will leave it there for this week, Johnny. Always a pleasure speaking to you. We will see you on Saturday. And as I said earlier, at the outset of the podcast, we're coming into Christmas and New Year. So why not check out the Lodge Hotel, their special New Year's Eve ball. As I said earlier, tickets are currently on sale. Early booking recommended, and the Christmas brochure from the Lodge Hotel is now available online at thelodgehotel.com. So advice is check it out for all your Christmas and New Year festivities. So Johnny, until we speak again next week, I will see you at the match on Saturday. Thank you to everybody for listening. We will keep you up to date as ever on all the behind the scenes goings on at Korean and of course Westminster, because we're now a political podcast as well as a football podcast. So as ever, take care. See you next week, and come on the Bandsider.